Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
It sure is. Not too classy.
So we have an actually, like, for it being in the middle of, like, the dead zone between two pay-per-views, I feel like we have a lot to discuss this week.
This week, yes. The past couple weeks, where I'm glad that we had some fillers.
Yes.
As far as, like, active, like, you know, current WWE stuff, I guess the best, compared to what we talked about last week, the best thing to start with, it would probably be the Sami Zayn, apology.
It is a disappointment that the solution wasn't, oops, that was a bad idea, let's ignore it.
Right. But short of just flat out ignoring it, I felt like what they did was as good as you could have gone, like, could have recovered, I guess. Like,
I don't know. Like,
they at least recognized there's though something to apologize for.
Yeah,
but at the same time, you know, he's got to be a heel about it.
And that's the thing is, like,
he shouldn't be the one apologizing. It's the writers and the producers, and probably
I don't know if it counts as an apology if you make the heel do it. And that's
a good point.
I mean, I that gets into, like, oh, what is kayfabe and what is real and where is the line? And, like,
sure,
you know, and that's all
well
and fun to talk about when we're like, all right, how big is Hulk Hogan's penis for real? But, like, then when we have to talk about this, I'm like, I don't know if I'm qualified to say where the line is.
That's fair. I was trying to make a Hulk Hogan joke. But but, like, short of just completely, like, scrapping the storyline, It was all right, I guess. Like, it was a good promo, especially compared to what we got last weekend. Last week. The handshake at the end that turned into, like, the stereotypical, like, crushing the other guy's hand thing just felt dumb, but, you know, whatever.
I don't know. Maybe
you'd just rather it all just be...
Maybe I'm
just
going
to
be unfairly down on this.
That's fine.
Entire thing.
Honestly, with what they did last week, they deserve it.
Yeah.
I was trying to, like, you know, be a little bit optimistic about what's going on, but no, you're absolutely, like, it was atrocious, so I can't blame you for, like, just wanting for it to all go away.
Well, I'm going to say some weirdly nice things about Big Cass later on in this podcast, so, like, I'm just going to double down on this Zayn and Bobby Lashley thing is terrible, so you don't think I pod-personed and did some weird, you know, impersonation thing. So I'm sticking with
you don't have a, like, a mega, like, hat hidden somewhere, do you? Like,
as a human, garbage dumpster fire,
sure, okay,
but, like, let us not sway away from that.
The anti-Cena. Like him as a character, hate him as a person.
Yes,
there you go.
Don't like him as a character either.
Well, sure,
like, let me not oversell.
I mean, it sounds like a ringing endorsement.
Let me not oversell that this, like...
Well,
I'm going to say that Big Cass is not the worst. Even though he is the worst.
Let's stop skating around and just talk about Big Cass thing, because I can't really think of anything else from Raw to talk about.
So, Big Cass came back on SmackDown this week.
Yes. And you were there in person.
I was there live in person watching SmackDown this week.
I was at work.
And let's go ahead and say... When you advertise, you know, Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe, and then you open up the show and be like, oh, we're sticking Big Cass in this. That is an upsetting thing to have happened to
and
you.
And honestly, if you were like me watching, you know, on TV, that power button or channel button looks really tempting when they put that out there. So I'm like, maybe, like, have that as a last minute surprise and be like, oh yeah, it's triple threat now. But when you lead off the show and say that it's not going to happen or they're adding Big Cass in it, like, I wouldn't consider Big Cass a draw to, like, try to do that. Like, oh, well, let's boost it and try to get some extra people by inserting this name in there. He's not that guy.
But I will say there are people like The Miz where, you know, a lot of people, you know, he is a heel. He's a heel through and through. He plays a heel on the show. But he gets a lot of cheers and a lot of fan appreciation because of how good he is at being a heel, because of his dedication to the company, whatever. Kevin Owens is the same way.
Sure.
Kevin Owens gets a lot of cheers, even though he is unquestionably a heel. He's not any level of tweener. He is full heel, but he gets a lot of cheers. Big Cass came out and booed him. And I booed him wholeheartedly, like, because I hated him.
Sure.
And I understand this whole thing. We all talk about this, you know, as we're sophisticated fans and we know the business. And we're like, guys, if you don't like something and you want to stop, you have to give it no reaction.
Right.
Because that's, you know.
That's the ultimate, you know, test
of, right.
of how good or bad somebody is. Yeah.
Right. But, like, Big Cass's music hits, his big, stupid, dumb name shows up, and a booed. And I'm like, I hate this guy.
Just can't help. Just like, you know, Roman's theme music just elicits that reaction, like, immediately. Like, oh, I got a boo.
Yeah. And so, like, and part of it's like, oh, that's what they wanted me to do, and I did it.
Yep.
And I will say this week, and again, When we go to a thing live, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. As much as I hate that you couldn't come, I do like that we have this, like, somebody watched it on TV and somebody watched it live.
Because it's not like you're going to go back home and watch it on TV.
Yeah, okay. I watch parts of it because I have questions.
Okay.
and we'll get to those, detailing through SmackDown. But Big Cass really kind of worked in a triple threat setting. Where he didn't, I mean, this match was clearly carried on the shoulders of the two other men in there.
And I mean, I'll harken back to I believe it was the Fatal 4-Way for the Universal title after Finn Balor got hurt, like, years ago, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Cass was in, he ended up getting eliminated first in that match, but he was in that match, and everyone was like, wow, he opened up a lot of eyes, he looked really good.
Right.
And for some reason, like, in those multi-man matches where it's not, he's not carrying. He does really
well. He did, and he did really well this week. And it's almost like, because both with that example and this week on SmackDown, I was under no real illusion that he was going to be winning the match.
Right.
You know, it was going to be one of these two guys. That's where the buildup was.
Mm-hmm.
Not in it, and it wasn't a like, oh, I'm scared he'll win. I hope he doesn't win. It was just that it doesn't really occur to me. That seems to not fit any storyline. So it's not so much as he's a third contender, but he ends up being this weird, like, wild card in the match.
Right.
And honestly, the thing I can most liken it to is, like, lumberjack matches where you're like, oh, what's the, you know...
How are the
what's the outside going to do to it?
Right.
And I almost... I would be interested, and I don't have all the rules and how you would figure this out, but if you did have a match between two guys... where there was a third-party wild card interfering, beating up the guys, would be like... And it, because that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Even though, Big Cass was technically...
In the match.
In the match, he felt like a thorn in the side of the two real people in the match.
Right, yeah.
Which, honestly, added an interesting dynamic to this particular match. And that's all the nice things I have to say about him.
So, ringing endorsement, he's your new favorite wrestler.
He's a garbage person, but I booed him when I was supposed to boo him, and I feel conflicted about that. Like, does that mean he did a good job? Does that mean he is doing a good job as a heel?
Dearest ladies and gentlemen of the audience, I didn't notice this when I walked in, but now there's a big, giant, Big Cass poster hanging on the wall now. It's a shrine. There's candles.
Fortunately, and I can say this with having seen the merch table as recently as this week, that level of authority, they do not sell Big Cass merch at the table.
What a surprise.
So, as much as I, like, don't want to see him pushed and am angry about, like, any level of pushing for him, there is no merch for him.
That's fair. To Joel's credit, that poster, I'm seeing now a big... area of the poster that's been blackened out by a Sharpie. I'm assuming that's Enzo behind that. Speaking of Enzo, he's got a music video.
He does have a music video.
He comes off crazy as all get out.
So,
slash a guy who's obviously been off social media, and he's a guy who's always been known to speak his mind, and he hasn't been able to speak his mind in months now, and this is how he chose to just release all of that.
So... go look it up if you want. I'm not saying I recommend it. I'm just acknowledging it exists.
Going by Real One, I think. It's on WorldStar's YouTube channel.
It is a fully produced music video.
Absolutely, 100%.
Like it is, there is lighting, mm-hmm. and there is mixing going on here. And I, clearly a lot of effort has been put into this music video. And watching it, so you know that tattoo, that's a terrible tattoo where it's like a monkey with his butt sticking out and the belly button is the butthole. Like it's a common like, oh, this is a really terrible tattoo to get.
I'm just thinking of the monkey logo from Super Troopers, but go on.
Okay. So just imagine like
yeah.
a monkey and he's got his butt sticking out and yeah. and the tattoo artist uses your belly button as the monkey's butthole.
I've never known about this, but I'm not surprised.
It's like a common like trashy tattoos.
Right, like like seeing Calvin from Calvin Hobbes on the back of somebody's car urinating
right.
on something.
Right, it's some
yes.
of that terrible trashiness.
Yes.
But it's like, imagine that, like, a really well-drawn monkey, and, like, this guy clearly put a lot of time, and that's how yeah. I feel about this music video. Like, it's still a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But, like, man, the execution of this terrible idea yeah. is just, it has to be, like, marveled at a little bit.
And it was mentioned in the song, but I have a feeling this is going to be horrible for the civil trial.
Well, like, did he run this by anybody?
I would imagine his lawyer, because his lawyers has kept him on a very tight leash when it comes to social media. Like, the only thing that he had been posting was statements crafted by his lawyers.
Yeah.
And it was just like a screenshot of it.
Which is the thing, he went from nothing to everything. This right. isn't like a tweet that leaked out in a moment of passion or like mm-hmm. TMZ didn't accost him on the street and right. got like 10 seconds of...
And
you
again,
know, a blur before he was ushered
away. A lot of people
away.
Are saying, like, oh, this is what we get for assuming a guy's guilty before, you know, the trial or everything. He was never proven innocent either. Mm-hmm. Like, this was thrown out, basically, lack of evidence.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you never want to assume the worst of people, but you gotta, like,
well,
take it with some salt.
So, Enzo, is he going by Real One? Is that his ring name? Whatever. Enzo.
Yeah. Yeah, or Eric.
As he, I'm assuming he's going to get back into wrestling.
Depends on how much he, because he's again his music video is going to get a lot of traction because of
yes,
X number
his
reasons,
music video is
but
get
not
a lot
because
of
him being
but
good at music.
His second music video is going to get nothing. It's kind yeah. of like, did you know that Rebecca Black released a music video for her song Saturday?
Right. Yeah.
Like, no, you didn't. Nobody knows anything else Rebecca Black did at
right.
Friday. The producer released a song called Thanksgiving. You should look it up.
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's awful.
It is.
But like,
you've shown it to me.
But it's not Friday.
No.
And this isn't like, you know, if we want to like compare Thanksgiving to
yeah.
Friday, like
the difference is no one knew who Rebecca Black was before the song.
Right.
Enzo had a following before that. So I feel like that following is going to carry some momentum beyond that first music video.
Well, I mean, but I think there's a lot of tuning in to yeah. this song for reasons other than I want to hear this guy sing
yeah.
or rap.
I feel like he's going to pursue this rap career for, you know, probably longer than we would probably want. And I think eventually once it dies down,
I mean, I think
a
he's.
Year or so.
I think he's getting back in the ring. I think TNA will probably snatch him up. Like he is going to be.
I hear they are hiring. I don't.
He is going to be fine. Like however you feel about yeah. yay or boo, he's probably going to be fine.
See, that's the thing. I don't
financially
know. Like
in the wrestling world,
now that there's a new company controlling Impact. And they're in Canada now.
Sorry,
Impact. I don't know. I don't exactly know. If they would be willing to take a risk on him, I figure they. I assume they probably would.
Yeah.
If not, I'm sure there's some other company.
Oh, there's no shortage of companies, and he has notoriety, and like he'll be fine. Or he has.
You know, what he would be perfect for.
He still has the stuff to be fine.
Sure.
Like I don't know, he could be garbage with money and just a terrible person to work with, and could still.
Oh, I imagine he's the worst with money.
He still could burn. You know. Anything to the ground.
Sure.
But he still does have the goods to be fine if he wants to be.
You know where he would be perfect?
Hmm.
CZW.
I wasn't going to call him out by name, but like you could definitely see him being in CZW.
Yeah, like weed-related wrestler number 5 or whatever they're on. I'm sorry, CZW is garbage. It really is. That's Chris talking, not Joel. Send all your hate mail to me, classroomingattire@gmail.com.
I mean, like, it got me Dean Ambrose.
Sure, sure. Like, I'm not saying some good things didn't come out of it, or they didn't do some good things here and there.
Yeah.
But as a whole, it's garbage.
I also have not seen everything they've done, or most things they've done.
I did tune into a live stream of their big event, and they're like trying to construct this cage thing that they're for the main event. People more knowledgeable of their product would know exactly what I'm talking about. It took them like almost an hour to get this thing put together.
Yeah,
it was so painful to watch, but yet I couldn't look away. Maybe that's what it is. Like, they just, you know, it's the train wreck effect that brings everyone in.
Well, and I will say, in comparison, like going to see SmackDown Live, one of the things you get to see is watch them turn the SmackDown ring into the 205 Live ring.
Right.
Like the intro video of 205 Live.
And another highlight for you, being there live, you got to watch the dance-off.
I did get to see the dance-off. I don't know how it played on TV.
Not great.
But Lana killed the crap out of that dance-off. Lana was
100%. 100%. Like, Lana, like
watching, I'm like, why are they letting her dance so good? Like, I know what the setup of the dance-off is. The heel is supposed to be terrible.
Yeah, I was expecting like her like be like, hey, do like a Vicky Guerrero like whenever she was in a like something really uncoordinated, and then I guess I don't know.
Like the Charleston and the thumb thing, and
I don't
like,
know, maybe just Lana's like pride of being like classically trained just wouldn't allow her to do that.
I mean, she came out looking good. I'm like, I'm gonna have to cheer for her. Like,
absolutely.
I don't know what you're expecting from me here.
I know they both danced in one way or another professionally, but no, like Lana was like head and shoulders above Naomi.
Yeah. So,
but we'll never know. They never asked for a vote.
Did not ask for a vote.
That is now the new, like I texted Joel immediately after that. Like, this is going to be the new, what was Triple H going to say to Shawn on the night he was retiring? Yeah. We'll never know.
We will never know. I was robbed of my opportunity to vote for that. I was there. I had my hands ready to clap. Yeah. I had made my decision of where I was going
to
vote.
But Lana had to be a heel about it.
And I was robbed of that.
Had to slap a guy.
A couple other things to highlight about SmackDown.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw this on the TV, but it drove me absolutely crazy watching it live.
Okay.
So at the beginning of the show, they had at the top of the ramp, they had 6 ladders, 3 on either side, just kind of advertising for Money in the Bank. Every commercial break, they would either take those ladders away or bring them back.
Right.
And I cannot figure out why.
Because the next segment that was going to happen that involved the stage or someone coming out was somebody that was involved in Money in the Bank.
Got it.
Really? I thought that was obvious.
No, I could not tell. I could just see those guys taking. I did not make the connection.
No.
And I don't know. I don't know. It might have helped. Because I don't remember who all is in Money in the Bank. Like, I have to sit here and think and count on my fingers. And I did not have the announce behind me all the time.
Sure.
And I didn't have the little title cards.
Yeah. So, no, that was 100% a Money in the Bank thing.
Well, thank you. I genuinely appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because those guys, like,
I was actually wondering that, because, like, I didn't think about it until later. I was like, I wonder if they took the ladders down whenever it was not Money in the Bank related. And I just didn't even think to, like, go back and look. But I guess since they kept putting it up and taking them back.
And it was the thing. It was like, you know, because the stadium goes dark for, you know, the commercial. And then they show usually some WWE-related product on the...
You could say it. Propaganda.
On the Jumbotron.
We love the United States, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, no, it's usually, like, Camp WWE Season 2. Like, please go watch it.
Oh, we had to watch those commercials, too.
And we're all looking at the Jumbotron, and we can see the movement underneath it when the ladders come back on.
Because usually that's done to take your attention away from the ring in case someone's like hiding underneath, or if someone's disguised as a ring crew or to hide themselves or something like that.
Right.
But not in that instance. Like, it's right where you're going to notice it because that's where everyone's attention is right now.
It was. And it was so, like, I mean, they were there at the opening of the show.
Granted,
and
it's just set piece. Like, it's just decoration.
It is. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But just seeing it come on and off, like once it left, I was like, oh, that was for the opening. That was for the beautiful, like majestic sweep around the stadium kind of thing.
Samoa Joe was coming out with a ladder, taking it down.
And I was like, all right, that's fine. And they took it off. And then they brought it back. I was like, what are they doing? And so thank you for letting me know.
100%, man.
Because that makes total sense as soon as you've said it.
I'm here for you. I would like to see, because now like the cameras are always cutting, you know, very quickly during these matches. How badly did New Day like accost the commentators with their pancakes? Because you always hear a story about it, and apparently, like last week, Corey Graves got accidentally stabbed with his own pencil
because of the pancake,
or something going on.
Somebody, I don't know which one of them, but one of them like discus shot that pancake.
It's probably Kofi.
Up into like you know,
like I noticed Kofi's like his release is very impressive.
Like yeah. The you know that like upper level that they usually like rope off to make it look full,
right?
And just ignore these seats up here, kind of thing.
Like nosebleeds, sections.
And like it hit that and hit that and like damn, I'm like, what the arm on that was amazing.
Kofi, yeah.
And so and like yeah, I wasn't looking, and so I didn't see who threw it. I just saw this pancake fly.
That was
the
thing.
Air.
Like I was gonna text you like, hey, make sure you catch a pancake. But then I was like, it might not make it to where you're sitting. But then again, like.
Apparently, it could have. Yeah. I didn't bother to stand for anything because I'm sitting far enough away. Nobody's, you know, going to get anything to me. But yeah, all right. That was a great match. And again, despite the big cast, and in a weird way, kind of because of the big cast, the main event was a really fun match to get to watch live. Yeah. But if we're done with SmackDown, I do want to move on to 205 Live.
Yep.
And I want to send this out there to anybody. If you ever go to a SmackDown, you're an idiot for not staying for 205 Live.
Like, A, like, you paid for the entire night, so you might as well just stay and watch everything, unless you've got to, like, be at work really early, or you have kids that have to wake up early for school or something, then okay, fine, whatever. But other than that, like, you're wasting, you know, you're wasting some of your ticket.
Yeah, you paid for that. And that's the thing, is, like, you know, once we, you know, that SmackDown was over, like a flood of people left.
Yeah, which was it was very noticeable.
And like, you know, and we were sitting there looking, and I was like, how are they going to cover that giant spot of red seats? Like, you know, big old thing.
Yeah, it doesn't help that the seats at the, I forget what the stadium's called now.
PNC.
Yeah. All the seats are bright red.
Yeah.
And they're very noticeable. Like, you can dim the lights all you want. You can still see those bright red seats.
I mean, I from what I saw of 205 Live, they did a good job. Like, there's still people here, but, like, there was a lot less people there. But 205 Live is incredible live. It is the best stuff you'll watch live.
Yeah.
Like, just from pure, like, match entertainment quality.
Mm-hmm.
I've
become weirdly charmed by the Lucha House Party.
It was great live.
Sure.
And that was the thing is, so, when I was thinking about this, I was like, okay, so I saw... What live was match of the year contender, right. And then you said
I confirmed it. Like watching it at home, it's in my top five. I mean, it's no Ciampa Gargano, but then again, nothing has been.
Well,
so
and that's
far.
The thing is, like I'm almost a little bummed that Takeover Philly was what it was.
You're right,
because like I didn't see the best match of the year live.
Yeah,
because without that pay per view, I arguably saw the best match of the year live.
It's up there. I haven't. Nothing really sticks out. So far, so it might be number two for me.
Yeah.
But it is up there. Like, Cedric Alexander and Buddy Murphy. Like, if you told me 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whatever, not maybe a month ago, that Cedric Alexander and Buddy freaking Murphy would have, like,
if
the match of the year, I would believe
Cedric. If
you
had told me 3 weeks ago that this was going to be match of the year contender, that's cute. Thank you for making me
feel good.
I could
believe Cedric Alexander because, you know, when it's, you know, high risk, high reward type of match, you know, Cedric's going to go all out. I can believe it 100%. Like, the match he had at the Classic against Kota Ibushi was easily one of the top matches of the year.
Yeah.
But Buddy Murphy, like, I saw him whenever he first joined 205 Live. And yeah, I could tell, like, his quality of work has improved greatly. But I was not expecting that.
Yeah. No, not at all. Mm-mm. And so, but even that match aside, like just watching the Lucha House Party, and they faced the gentleman Jack Gallagher and Brian Kendrick. That was the most entertaining thing up until that point.
Sure.
Watching that. And, you know, it was more entertaining live than any match on SmackDown. And so it's just, stay for 205 Live.
Yeah, 100%.
That is...
Do yourself a favor.
Yes, that is half your ticket. Like it's a third of the show. That is half your ticket value right there, and that's in that hour. It's incredible. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will say I was absolutely lucky to get to see that match, that Cedric Alexander Murphy match. Fantastic job. That title feels like one of the most important titles in WWE at this moment.
Now they've after the whole Enzo thing, they have greatly improved that championship status.
Yeah, just the stock in the Cruiserweight Championship.
Yeah, 100%. Beyond that, one of my favorite moments of this week has been from NXT this last night, I guess. It wasn't even a match. It was just like the moment between
Ricochet
and Velveteen Dream. Like,
yeah.
Ricochet does this unthinkable flip out of the ring and just lands on his feet like a cat. Like, he must have, I think, what's that phone that's like super like durable?
The Nokia?
Yeah, everyone's saying that his knees are made out of Nokias. Has to be. I'm really looking forward to that match in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to convince our friend Ashley to watch NXT just because of the Gargano Ciampa feud is just white hot right now. Like, I didn't think it could reach this point. And I actually have gone back just because I've been so bored. And my Houston Rockets have been eliminated from the NBA playoffs. So I have got time.
So all is right in the world once again.
Shut up. I've got time now when I'm during, you know, nights when I usually would be watching a playoff game. Now I'm like going through NXT and watching like DIY stuff even before they were known as DIY. And they really built them like almost as if it was like it was purposely building them to face each other off.
Yeah.
You know, because honestly, they hadn't been on NXT that much before they faced off against each other at the Cruiserweight Classic. It was only a handful of times. They made the most of those moments, and they the fans got behind them, but it wasn't until that match that they were really, like, pushed as a tag team.
Yeah. No, that definitely, you know, kind of kick-started some stuff.
Yeah.
I do have to say, I am a little bummed out that apparently... Because the Nakamura AJ Styles match is a last man standing match, that nicks the plans that initially Ciampa and Gargano were going to have a last man standing match.
Right, so now it's just a street fight.
And that's stupid because they had an unsanctioned match, which is a street fight.
Sure, it really doesn't change things at all.
No, and I wish they would have done another stipulation. Like a false count anywhere, or
something to change it up to where
a quit match or whatever.
Yeah, not that I'm complaining, that we're getting essentially a chance to replicate and even surpass what they did.
Yeah, we have all the ingredients for the 5-star match they've already had, and so like I get that.
Right, but like something It makes sense within the context of the feud, but I don't know. Maybe they'll have more weapons around, I guess.
I don't know. Speaking of Nakamura, I did want to mention that this was also watching SmackDown. And again, maybe it's because it was live.
Yeah.
But I think it's because they gave him more time. This is the first time I wasn't, in a long, long time, this is the first time I wasn't entirely bored by Ty Dillinger.
Thanks, bud. It's definitely one of the more interesting matches that Dillinger has been in while on SmackDown. And you probably didn't get a good look at it, but some of those chops that Ty Dillinger got on Nakamura, they laid it like he had not quite like Daniel Bryan at Greatest Royal Rumble.
No, but I could see the red from my seat.
You could see the welts at the end of that match. Now that's the best the best Dillinger has looked in a long time.
He had a lot of personality, and he's been lacking personality on SmackDown. Yeah. I mean,
and again, it might be just the right opponent. It could just be because, you know, he's going up against his friend and his old, you know, travel partner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Or they, you know, actually let him get in more than what they usually allow him to get in.
I don't know what it is, but this is desperately what he needs. Even towards, you know, the middle and end of his NXT run, once he started getting the Ten Chant to be a thing, the Ten Chant started to eat any personality that he had.
I would say that he worked incredibly well as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
It was when, like, he became almost too popular, like you were saying, when the Ten Chant, like, really got over. That was around the time, where some personality was being held back. But, well, you know, again, we always get the adage that, you know, it's always more fun to be a heel because you can really, you know, push your character.
When he was saying that he was a perfect 10, and when being a perfect 10, I guess, meant something to the character, and this was still very fresh in his character, and so it wasn't like, this is a great, great character, because it's a generic pretty boy, I'm good at what I do kind of character. But you could see, like, oh, he's got an eye for this. He can definitely, like, create and mold and sculpt this into something. And then the Ten Chant just took it over.
Right.
Kind
of with Bobby now in Glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because honestly, like, the best Dillinger has looked, and again, goes back to when we saw him live last, and that was at NXT a week after WrestleMania in Dallas.
Yeah,
and he was in the main event, which surprised me. He was part of like a big tag team match with going up again. I forget his partner was Baron Corbin because we kept yelling at him. Everyone was yelling at him, take his shirt off.
Yeah,
and he did, and there was another shirt underneath it, and it was perfect. But you know, he had a lot of personality in that match. I remember, like, even had like other cards besides the 10 card. Like when someone made his entrance, like Nakamura, I think he put up a 4 or something, and. Yeah, like, that was right around the time where it started to turn to where he was more, you know, not just the guy that all the new good guys would beat at the next takeover.
Right.
You know?
He became the debut guy.
Right. I'll agree with you on that. And hopefully, the fact that he's showing a little bit more personality now means that maybe we'll get more of that in the future. I'm hoping.
Oh, absolutely. Like that was an absolute, like, give him something. Give him something now.
This is the reason why I was so big on Ty Dillinger. You know, because I know you were questioning it for a while.
I was. And
this is what it was. It was because I saw this.
And I'm still not ready to jump aboard the train.
Sure, sure, sure.
But I will continue to watch the train instead of actively
scoff at it.
Yes.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Is that all the WWE stuff?
We do need to mention, since we are now, you know, financially invested in the success of WWE.
Yes, we are.
We do need to mention that our stock has continued to climb this week.
Yes, it has.
We are about at $70 right now.
$70? Last I heard, we was at $60.
We might have gone down since the last time I looked.
Okay.
Because we...
it was $60 right before the numbers of the Raw deal with NBC. It was like literally minutes before.
Right, right. Well,
so I'm assuming that's...
And that absolutely spiked it. Yeah. Raw is going to NBC Universal.
Yeah.
I don't 100% know what all that means because NBC Universal also owns USA.
Right. So it could just be... like all indications that I have is, or that I've seen, is that they'll stay on USA.
Yeah.
But now for... 1.3 or 1.13 or
something like that. Something crazy like that, yeah.
Yeah. So more than SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like Fox is getting more. Like, A, Fox is paying that much for a show and putting it on their, you know,
now this is
quote unquote over the air.
Yeah. We are channel. Saying this is under the assumption that it is going on
Fox
not on FS1 or something like that.
I haven't heard anything other than that, and apparently, like, part of that deal is they're also going to have a SmackDown show on FS1, like a studio show. So, fingers crossed for possible Talking Smack or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But, you know, NBC's paying so much for Raw, and they're just getting Raw.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, whatever, it's a flagship show. But they're also, like, paying that much and then putting it on their cable channel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know, and I'm curious how much does like suits cost? How much do they pay for suits or Monk or whatever?
Yeah, I'm assuming like they're probably shelling out a little bit more money for shows now, like Mr. Robot or Center. Mm-hmm. Like they're getting like bigger name actors, like even the Tupac and Biggie series.
Right.
They put in a pretty penny in,
well,
into
and,
it.
And they are absolutely trying to. I mean, USA for the longest time was the sexy detective TV show.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, sometimes the detective was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the detective was a doctor. But the detective was always sexy. Like, that was the important part of the USA model.
But that includes silk stockings?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I don't know why that show sticks out.
And they've been, like, with Mr. Robot being a big hit, they've been leaning into, like, prestige television. Right.
So much so that this Tupac and Biggie series that just finished is making a future Johnny Depp movie look just silly.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all just like, didn't we just watch this? Like... No,
same
no.
thing. But I we do also want to, before we wrap up, we do have to talk about the trial has started.
The trial of
the
Punk.
Trial in all caps, underlined, and quotation marks around it. The trial.
The trial. Colt Cabana and CM Punk versus Dr. Amen. We are now, as of us recording this, they've gone through 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
First day, apparently they just listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
Which had to have been weird. Like, this apparently included, like, all of Colt Cabana's plugs and everything. Like,
well, I would, like, as soon as I read that, I was like, okay, well, of course.
Yeah.
They would have to listen to the podcast in its entirety.
Sure. Like, it is evidence.
Yes. And
it's what, like, and it's what the entire case is based on.
And if one side tried to submit like certain clips of the podcast, the other side would demand
sure.
the whole, like either way it would happen.
Yeah.
The end result is we would be listening to the whole podcast.
And then the first thing they did on the second day was Dr. Amen took the stand and, you know, pretty much was questioned all day. And, you know, made indications of, you know, Punk had no lower lump or lump on the back on the lower part of his back. There hasn't been any indication if they've watched the
video,
the weird video that WWE has provided them, but they do have like medical records. There's another doctor, Dr. Samson, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Heck, I think is the other one's name. And apparently they're really good about keeping like electronic logs and everything. And Dr. Amen, not so much. Because they're having to rely a lot on like text messages, and which I mean, you know, it makes for some interesting court moments here and there.
Yeah.
And Dr. Amen did say at one point that, well, throughout the questioning, he's said several times that this has been humiliating and, you know,
he said embarrassing. Humiliating.
And then when asked if it's it affected his standing within his, you know, with his job or anything, and he said no. You know, he's had no effect on his job and his livelihood.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's, I don't, like, again, I don't know enough to say if that's a big deal in the case or not, but I feel like it should be.
So the only thing that's a question is, my understanding is his lawyer asked him the question that resulted in him saying, no, I never felt like my job with WWE was in jeopardy.
I would have to look back on it, but I believe you're right, yeah.
Which is so weird that it has to be like, okay, so...
So they must not think that it's a big deal, but I feel like it is.
Well, and I wonder, are the doctors... Like, are the WWE doctors, like, independent contractors, like the wrestlers, where, like, they might take, like, doctor gigs on the side?
Right. But nah, he travels with them. 100%.
And that's my understanding, is like that is his full-time job is being this WWE doctor.
Yep.
And maybe the argument is more like he's worried that he will not be able to get something beyond this, and maybe he's like, oh, my goals are to, you know, do this, and then, you know, be in this hospital, and then eventually, like, be head of the hospital, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And WWE is like a stepping stone in my path, and now my path is ended because only WWE has faith in me. But
at the same time,
like,
you know, yeah, the travel schedule is hard, but it's a pretty all right gig, you would assume.
I mean,
until you know, he decided to sue somebody.
Like, I don't know where we are, but that does seem I read that, I was like, well, end of the case.
Well, I mean, you have to look at it, looking at it completely, like, unbiased, or at least trying to, because that's, assuming that's how you get the jury, you know, right. Guys that had never heard of any of these people, or the WWE, or whatever.
And, like, it is...
And unbiased, like, I feel a lot, like, most people just look at that and be like, yeah, so what, your job's fine. Like, you felt no blowback from your job, or any other people that you might treat doesn't look at you as less than. Mm-hmm. You know, they still confidently, and you know, go to you for whatever medical need that they have.
Yeah. So, I mean, and we'll see. Hopefully this wraps up soon-ish. CM Punk does have a UFC bout.
Yeah. CM Punk, from, you know, all notes, seems like he's very entertained by all this. Like, he's cracking jokes. Not cracking jokes, but, you know, he looks like he's entertaining himself.
Most notes about, like, that aren't, mm-hmm. you know, play-by-play, notes about, like, general air of the room and stuff,
mm-hmm.
have CM Punk being pretty relaxed.
Right. And again, like, you gotta kind of be careful about that, because if jury sees a lot of that, they will construe it as just arrogance and being a jerk. Which, again,
CM Punk
is an arrogant jerk, so he's just being himself. But one good thing that seems like it's coming out of this, you know, because the person taking the notes, I believe, is from WrestleZone, because apparently he's the only person there covering this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, God bless him. Like, I'll gladly promote any of his stuff. Mm-hmm. I believe it's WrestleZone. At the very beginning, like, you know, everything was very cold. Like, they kept Colt Cabana, CM Punk, everybody just kind of kept themselves on their own section of the courtroom or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then by the end of day two, they've been talking, you know, joking around a little bit. I believe they had a quick recess where they had all the lawyers kind of talking, like, as a sidebar, talking with the judge. They had the jury, like, leave the room, whatever. And CM Punk and Colt Cabana went over to, like, this little candy dish that was by the jurors' mm-hmm. area, stole some of their peppermints and gave them to the WrestleZone guy. Like, hey, here you go. Like, it seemed like it was like, okay, no, they're just, you know, being mischievous, but, like, in a cute sense. And by day two, it sounds like they're just friends now, which is a relief, because I want them to be friends again. And I hate that this had, like, kind of, like, drawn a line between the two.
Yeah, this has been this issue.
So even if they lose this trial, they will regain their friendship. Maybe.
And really, that was the real treasure, is the friends we made along the way.
I want CM Punk to come down that aisle in Chicago with Colt Cabana as part of his entourage.
At
his UFC fight.
At UFC? Okay, yeah. I was like, are you painting his all-in entrance right now?
Well, that's in September.
Okay.
I mean, they're both going to be in town.
I assume. I assume.
Because, you know, the trial's probably still going to be happening. I don't see, that's the thing. I don't know. Like, Colt took the stand in day two.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he's been the only one that said that there was a lump on his back.
Yeah.
But Colt's supposed to go back on the stand probably tomorrow. So is AJ and obviously Punk himself. They've had video testimonies, like pre-recorded stuff. One was Kane, like Glenn Jacobs.
Okay.
Because he was involved. He was supposed to be the one that... There's been a lot of questions about the 2014 Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Like, a lot, like, extensively. About what was planned, what wasn't planned, or whatever. But a lot of that had to do with Kane, because Kane had, he was ordered to go out and eliminate Punk. And he said that was what was planned. It just may have happened sooner because of the, you know...
Possible concussion.
Concussion, yeah. So, his take on it, obviously, was, you know, part of it. But then you had, like, the referee, like, John Cone. He had a pre-recorded testimony.
Yeah.
So, it's been really interesting. And I highly, like, encourage people to go back and, like, go to WrestleZone and
just
read
the notes.
Read the notes.
It's an interesting kind of way to follow.
I was going to just, like, read them out, but it would just be way too long. And this is not that... We're not a legal podcast.
No.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get up with our lawyer friend to kind of, like, clarify some stuff and give us an indication on, you know, where
who's winning.
Sure. Like, you know, I don't know anything about a defamation lawsuit. So I don't exactly know what counts more.
Yeah. Why is the trial not over when he said his job wasn't at risk?
Right. And that was, I honestly, as soon as I read that, I sent all this to our friend John and be like, hey, I feel like this is a bigger deal than probably what it is, but you just let me know, and I'm waiting to hear back from him.
Yeah. But we will keep you updated. I am hoping that we will have a verdict by the time we record next week.
Yeah.
But we will see. Anything else that we need to cover this week?
Not that I know of.
I really want to reiterate this. If you go to SmackDown Live,
stick around for 205.
Stick around for 205.
100%.
It was shocking how good that was live. That is some of the best live wrestling I've ever seen.
Right.
Just the enthusiasm and the energy and the everything about those guys. All right.
Noted.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Sierra Attire, where we live tweet various wrestling events.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. If you want to send me hate mail because I said, you know, CZW is garbage, send that all over to classofringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You get a new episode every single week. Maybe give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That helps out the podcast as far as iTunes goes.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. Tell me about how great CZW is. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.